From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In Nepal, the phones are back on and the internet is working again, more than a week after the country's king, Gayanendra, fired the government and seized power. Dozens of political leaders and other activists remain in detention, and the media is strictly censored. The focus is now on the king's next move and a strategy for tackling the Maoist insurgents who control much of the mountain kingdom. NPR's Philip Reeves reports.
You don't have to travel far to find the front line in a war between Nepal's monarch and its Maoists. This is Dulikhel, some 20 miles from the king's palace in the capital, Kathmandu. The town's held by government forces, but their control over the surrounding countryside doesn't reach very far. Singing folk songs, a group of Nepali women climbs a winding path to a Hindu temple. The temple's on top of a hill, just outside town, and has a commanding view of the Himalayan foothills all around. That's why the Nepali army's positioned itself at the temple. Its soldiers lurk behind sandbags and razor wire and peer down from a communications tower. Here, the monarch's writ ends. This is disputed turf, where Nepal's army and the Maoists vie for control. A few hundred yards away, Ramkrishna Bazgai is trying to survive on the dollar a day he earns from selling milk. We're caught in the middle, says Bazgai. People don't dare defy the Maoists when they call yet another crippling strike, he explains. But they must also endure frightening interrogation sessions from the army on suspicion of supporting the insurgency. Living between the sides is very hard, he says. The decade-long conflict between the Maoists and the government has brought widespread human rights abuses on both sides and killed some 11,000 people. The insurgents now control much of the countryside. There are concerns in Washington, and also particularly in neighbouring India, that if King Gyanendra misplays his hand, one day the Maoists will win. The question now is, what will the king do? Some analysts believe he's contemplating an all-out assault against the insurgents. The army, which receives U.S. military assistance, has been steadily growing. C. Raja Mohan, a South Asia expert based in India, believes that if this is the king's plan, it's unlikely to succeed.
Purely analyzing in a military sense, I don't think the army is capable. I don't think it has the morale or training or the capacity to deal with insurgency in such a huge mountainous terrain. I don't think they have the capacity. They've not been able to hold on even to the existing cities or the district centers. So there's nothing on the ground to suggest that the army can do it on its own.
Since the king threw out the government last week, complaining it had failed to end the insurgency, palace officials have talked about offering the Maoists unconditional negotiations. At the same time, though, Nepal's armed forces spokesman said he expects a long battle first. But Ian Seideman, legal advisor for the Geneva-based International Committee of Jurists, says peace talks are unlikely to succeed unless the king involves the political parties, which he's now excluded.
The king and the army do not represent a constituency. The elected government comes out of the parliament. The parliament was dissolved in 2002, but the parties to the negotiations now would be representing no one but themselves.
In the hills outside Dulikhel, children play biti, a favorite game among Nepalis, and try to forget the crisis. Here, says housewife Tulsa Umagai, people are just tired of war. Life would be much better if people cooperated and united, not just for me, but for everyone, she says. That goal seems to be shared by many Nepalis. But the king's position's weak, and he's facing more opponents now than before. It's far from clear whether he can achieve it. Philip Reeves, NPR News.